hope that you were inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Good morning. On behalf of Superintendent and Pastor Maurice Johnson, we welcome you once again to the Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ Saturday morning broadcast on KAYT. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street in Leesville, Louisiana. As a reoccurring community announcement, Johnson Temple Feeding the Hungry program takes place every second and fourth Wednesday, 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. This program is free and available to anyone regardless of income or status. For more information, please call the church at 337-239-3845. In today's broadcast, you will hear excerpts from a message rendered by Elder Daryl Johnson entitled, "What Kind of Fruit is Growing in Your Garden?" May God bless and keep you is our prayer.
What kind of fruit is growing in your yard? It encompasses the attributes that influence how a person thinks, how he feels, how he acts, especially in relationship to ethical and moral decision making. Character is often reflected in consistent actions. Character is always reflected in your decision making process. It demonstrates a person's integrity, his honesty, his reliability, and other virtues. The fruit of the Spirit is centered around your attitude.
All right. Yes, sir.
Like I said earlier, you got the bad and you have the good pulling and tugging on your very being. We got a whole lot of people that go to church. We got a whole lot of people that dress up for church. We got a whole lot of folks that look like saints. I wish I had somebody. They talk like saints. They even act like saints every now and then. But they're not saints.
Go ahead.
How many know that we got imposters in the church? How many of you know that we got chameleons in the church? How many of you know we got preachers that blend in? That's what they call a chameleon. They got a cross in the pocket. Every now and then, their collar turned backwards. Every now and then they call themselves speaking in some tongue. But I came by to tell you, the Spirit of God does not dwell within them. I know that we have problems in this life. I know we have troubles in this life. I know our spirits get a little discouraged sometimes, but I came by to tell you, you cannot yield for the works of the flesh. Amen. The works of the flesh will cause you to lose some stuff. The works of the flesh will cause you to neglect some things. How many you remember when you first gave your life to God? You were on fire. You were fervent. Every time you got a chance to worship, you was there. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Tuesday, every Friday, every district meeting, every USAC convention, every convocation, but after a while, you became complacent. Those things that used to excite you about God, you took it for granted. You stopped reading the Word of God. You stopped praying. You stopped fasting. And you even, some people even curse God. I wish I had somebody to talk back to me. The fruits of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. Prior to Paul reiterating some things, he gives caution to the Galatians. He says, prior to our text on this afternoon in Galatians 5:19-21, Paul gives cautions against according to our sinful nature. And he highlights the need for a believer to live by the Spirit. We got a whole lot of folks living by the Spirit, but is not living by the Holy Spirit. Watch what he says. Watch what he says, church. He said, now. That's an interesting, very interesting word, now. That means it's taking place right now. In the present, right here and now. Even though it talks about it in those days, it's happening right now. Watch what he says. He says, now, the works of the flesh have come to the forefront, manifested. They done came and rose to the top. Yeah, bro, preacher, they done showed up, and they trying to show out. But I serve a God that can do all things but fail. He says the works of the flesh are manifest. Well, what are the works of the flesh? But preacher, that's a good answer. I would like to give it to you. The works of the flesh are adultery. My. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like of which I tell you before. How many times I'm going to tell you the same old thing over and over and over again? Paul said, I told you in the past that which you do such things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Came out of us, your bubble. Don't just think you can go out here and do any and everything you think you're big and bad enough to do, and you think God's going to let you come into his kingdom. The devil is a lie. Keep on lying. Keep on cussing. Keep on committing adultery. Keep on having strife and wrath and fornication and adultery and fornication and uncleanness and see where you go. You're going to lift up your eyes in hell. Yeah, Yeah, but when you are led by the Spirit, it calls for a self-reflection. When you're led by the Spirit, it calls for you to repent. And it calls for you to be committed and aligned to one's life that fits the life values of God. It fits His principles. You have to move away from your selfish behaviors and actions that lead to spiritual death and towards spiritual immaturity. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Came by to tell you this afternoon, you can't afford to let your actions cause you to do anything that's contrary to the wills and the ways of God.
Amen.
Church of God in Christ, we must realize that it is a pulling on you.
Yeah.
Oh, walking in the flesh, fulfilling the works of the flesh, it's like a cancer that infects your spiritual immune system. It causes you to be weak in certain areas of your body. It causes you to do those things that you wouldn't normally do. But I came by to tell you there is a cure. And that cure is to turn from your wicked ways. That cure is to call on the name of Jesus. Because I heard the Bible say, whosoever shall call on the name shall be saved. I came by to tell you I can't afford to keep doing those same old things that I used to do and expect God to bless me. I came by to tell you it's time for some folks to be delivered. It's time for you to go down on your knees and get real with yourself and realize that I don't all have it together. I'm not Mr. Wonderful. I'm not Miss Sensational. I am a sinner. I'm saved by grace. And I want to stay saved. So if you want to stay saved, stop doing those things. You know those things. Sneaking and creeping, dodging, going to those places that you should not go. I came by to tell you, you can't continue to live a life of sin and expect God to come in and bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. I came by to tell you the flesh, this old flesh, it houses our sinful nature. When it houses our sinful nature, it produces our sinful actions. The Bible says that Paul said in Romans 7:21, when I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present. When I think to do good, evil is right there tapping me on my shoulder. Evil is right there saying, how you doing? Evil will tell you, you remember when we used to have a good time. Remember when we used to hang on the corner. Remember when we used to sip that hen. Remember when we used to smoke that crack. Remember when we used to sip that gin. But I came by to tell you, those days are over. When I went down on my knees, I had a talk with God. I had a talk with Jesus. I came clean with myself. I said, Lord, help me. Help me. Change my heart. Change my disposition. Change the way I do things. Change the way I think. Change the way I feel. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your anointing that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And after all you've done to stand, stand, stand with your guns about, located about, in the mighty name of Jesus. When you're under the flesh, you're out of control. When you're under the flesh, you lose some things. When you're under the flesh, you lose your testimony. When you're under the flesh, you lose your fellowship with other believers. But most importantly, when you're under the flesh, you lose your fellowship with God. How many of you know that you want to, when you want to call on God, you want him to answer? I don't know about you, but every now and then I got to call on him, and I don't want God to turn a deaf ear. I won't want God to close the door in my face, in the mighty name of Jesus. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is one food, but it has nine ingredients. It's one food, but it has nine nutrients. In the mighty name of Jesus, you can divide those nutrients into three divisions. The fruit of the Spirit, as listed in the passage, may seem like a random list of qualities, but in reality, they are giving us in three very logical divisions. First, the three qualities do primarily talk about the impact of our relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Jesus is love. Yeah. Jesus is joy, my unspeakable joy. Jesus is my peace. Second, we have that relationship and interactions with other people of God. Sometimes we have to be long-suffering when we're dealing with folks. Sometimes we have to show kindness. Every now and then, you got to be good. Treat folks like you want to be treated. In the name of Jesus, the third division talks about faithfulness, and it talks about gentleness and or meekness and self-control. Consider those terms that the fruit of the Spirit produces. It will impact every relationship. It will impact every fellowship that we have with God, that we have with each other. The fruit of the Spirit, as described in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, comprised of the qualities and the attributes that reflect the character of God. When you're guided by the Holy Ghost, these collectively represent the moral and spiritual attributes that should be evident in the life of a believer. I came by to tell you what kind of fruit is growing in your yard. I hope that love is growing in your yard. I hope that unconditional and selfless care for others reflecting God's love seeks to be the best for others without expecting anything in return. And it's foundational quality that influences all the others. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4 and 8, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. I hope I came by to see, do you have joy growing in your yard? Well, what is joy, Johnson? Joy is the abiding sense of happiness and contentment that transcends your circumstances. Joy is rooted in a relationship with God and his promises, offering strength. Joy gives them hope even in difficult times. For the Bible said in Nehemiah 8 and 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is a holy day. That good to know I'm so glad I got joy in my heart. Well, why you got joy, Johnson? Because this day is a holy day. He said, neither be you worry. I came by to tell you that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I came by to see Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ. Do you have peace growing in your yard? Peace is that inner tranquility and harmony that comes from trusting God. It involves a sense of wholeness and well-being, fostering calmness in the face of storms. In the mighty name of Jesus, it promotes reconciliation with others, because the Bible said in John 14 and 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I gave unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, but neither be afraid. I came by to tell you, ain't nobody mad but the devil. Ain't nobody happy like me. Thank you, Jesus. I know somebody got some patience growing in their yard. Well, what is patience? Patience is the ability to endure difficult situations. It is the ability to tolerate others. It's the ability to find no fault without becoming angry and upset. Patience involves trusting and the willingness to wait on the timing of God, because the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. You got to be patient with folks, because how many of you know at one time in your trifling life, God was patient with you. God waited on you, and God, he bared with you. But I came back to tell you, I'm so glad that God was patient with me. I'm so glad that God was long-suffering with me. That's why I can stand on my feet and tell God, thank you. Tell God, thank you. Give God glory in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Kindness. Kindness should be growing in your yard. Well, what is kindness, Johnson? Kindness is the disposition to be compassionate. Yeah. Kindness is generous. Kindness is considerate toward others. Kindness involves acts of benevolence. Kindness involves a readiness to help without expecting anything in return. Because I heard the Bible say in Ephesians 4 and 32, it says, be ye kind to one another. It says, be ye kind to one another. Be ye tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Tell your neighbor, I forgive you. I don't know what I did, but if I did something wrong, I forgive you. But most of all, can you forgive me in the mighty name of Jesus, forgiving one another as God forgave you. For the sake of Christ, have forgiven you in the name of Jesus. I found some goodness in somebody's yard. I found some moral integrity, the desire to do what is right. How many of you know it's good to do the right thing? It's good to do the right thing. It's good to be in order. It's good to tell the truth. How many of you know that goodness is characterized by ethical behavior? Your goodness is characterized by honesty. Your goodness is characterized by commitment and living a righteous and holy life according to the word of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the Bible says in Matthew 7 and 18, he said, a good tree cannot bear evil fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, neither can the corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You've got to be one way or the other. You can't straddle the fence. But God is not looking for a lukewarm church. You gotta be either hot or either cold. Either you're saved or you're not saved. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I'm gonna serve the Lord. I got to be faithful because I found that God is faithful. Is anybody in the house got some faithfulness growing in your yard? Are you reliable? Are you loyal? Are you trustworthy in your relationship with God? Are you trustworthy in your relationship with others? Some things I can talk about to Elder Jeff that I can't talk about to my wife. But are you trustworthy enough to keep it to yourself? Deanne, are you trustworthy enough to keep it to yourself? In the mighty name of Jesus, see, this faithfulness involves being steadfast. It involves being committed. It involves being maintaining your integrity, even in the face of challenge. Because the Bible says in First Thessalonians 5 and 24, faith is he that calleth you, who also will do it. How many of you know God is a faithful God? If you can bank on it, if God said it, he's able to bring it to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now this gentleness, we need a whole lot of gentleness growing in our yard. We need a whole lot of gentleness trees in our yard. Well, what is gentleness, Johnson? Gentleness is humility and a considerate attitude in dealing with others. Gentleness is the strength under control. It avoids harshness and being sensitive to the needs and feelings of others. Because the Bible says in Philippians 4 and 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In the mighty name of Jesus, as I hurry to a close, I got to close right here, but I came by to tell you that self-control needs to be in your heart. You need to be able to control your emotions. Self-control, you understand, is the ability to control one's desires. It's the ability to control your emotions. It's the ability to control your impulses. Self-control involves discipline. Self-control involves moderation and the power to make choices that align with the will of God rather than succumbing to temptation. I know many times we don't want to come to church. We won't want to study the word of God. How many of you know you're falling under the trick of the flesh of the works? I came by to tell you, when you operate in the flesh, you're out of control. When you do the things contrary to God, you're out of control. Keep on lying, you're out of control. Keep on telling the untruth, you're out of control. Keep on dipping and slipping, that means you're out of control. I came by to tell you, you need some self-control growing in your yard. Because I heard the Bible say in 2 Timothy 1:7, for the God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what is he given us, John? But of power and of love and of sound mind. I came by to tell you, get your mind together, get your head on straight. Keep being one day, and keep being the other day. I came by to tell you, let this mind be in you.